Welcome to the November 3rd Harbor Advisory Board meeting. The first item on the agenda is the roll call, and let the minutes show that all are present except Mandy Davis, who is excused.
Mr. Chair?
Sir.
Could I ask you, and maybe Rick also, on these... The City Council says there is no excused or unexcused, that you're either absent or you're here. And you often make comments about should it be listed as excused or unexcused. So can we just ignore that in the future?
We can, except that, you know, if someone calls in and says, hey, I'm not going to be there,
yeah.
You know, you can just acknowledge that they've called in and said they're not going to be there. It really doesn't, I don't think it, any additions, corrections, or will there be a motion to accept?
I move we accept the minutes of October 6th.
I'll second that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Oral communication. Anybody in the audience or on the board, but I'll take the audience first, who would like to make a statement on an item that is not on the agenda and that is pertinent to the Harbor Advisory Board. Please come forward, state your name, and make your statement.
Hi. My name is Quill Chase. I live in Paso Robles. And I'd like to speak about a letter that I saw to the Fish and Game about maybe making a mooring area in the Back Bay.
I'm sorry, that is on the agenda for tonight.
Oh. Can I speak about it?
You'll be allowed to speak after we get to that point.
Good.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wanting to speak on an item that is not on the agenda?
Okay. I have an information item for the public and for the waterfront people because this could affect the waterfront and their finances considerably. So I put it up on the board for people to read. I doubt that the TV audience can see it, so I'll read it out loud. And what this is a new outfall lease benefits to Morro Bay. And we've already heard about the detriments, so we'd like to hear about some of the benefits maybe. So I'll read these off, and then it's just an information item for the general public. These agreements between Duke and the City of Morro Bay and the agreement to lease and the outfall lease will each year in community development fund payments thereafter as long as the existing plan is operating. The funds are to be used for the benefit of the community of Morro Bay. This is a new payment the City has not received in the past. Second, Duke is to immediately pay the City $282,000 in rent for the outfall lease covering the time from 1104 to the end of 2005. This is a new payment. That will go into the Harbor Fund, I believe. I could be wrong, but I think that's where it goes. Then the plant owner is to pay $250,000 a year in rent under the lease, regardless of whether the plant runs or not. This is a new payment. The previous lease required only $50, so for 50 years. So this $250,000 per year will also go into the Harbor Fund, and that could be needed for dredging. So, and then the Duke is to dedicate the trailer park property to the City of Morro Bay, estimated value ranging as high as $8 million. The trailer park property will generate instant revenue for the city. That's the RV park that's across the creek from the plant there over on the frontage road by the beach. Duke is to dedicate a portion of the Den Doak property to the city. Estimated values for this property have ranged as high as $7 million, and that's been in negotiation in the past several times. Duke continues to pay natural gas franchise fees, which currently generate hundreds of thousands of dollars each year for the city. The city is granted the right to buy the existing plant for $1 if the plant permanently ceases operations and the owner has not demolished it within 15 years thereafter. If a new plant is not built, the lease will end in 2012. That's the outfall lease part of it. Between the rent, CDF payments, trailer park, gas, other people, but... That's basically what I wanted to give the information out for. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional comments on items that are not on the agenda? Very well. Then we'll move down to presentation and action items. Item 4 and item 4.1 is Back Bay issues and annexation, and I'm going to ask Rick to start this off.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Board. On October 10th, just last month, the City Council reviewed your previous hearings and the recommendations that you had made to the Council on the Back Bay management issues. Their discussion included consideration in a very conceptual way of annexation of Back Bay and some of the technical parts of what would be included in any annexation discussion. And specifically, the part of your recommendation about sending a letter to Fish and Game regarding Back Bay management issues. They did direct the mayor to send a letter to the Fish and Game Department, which we have included in your packet. That letter was sent out about a week ago, maybe 10 days at this point. We've also included an email from the Public Services Director, Bruce Ambo, regarding annexation issues. It is a long, lengthy process, very complicated. He's indicated, I think, in here in his email that there is a process that at the very preliminary stages is going to happen anyway. Every five-year review, they'll look at our spherification process that we've outlined here. And that would be my brief staff report. Obviously, I'm ready to answer questions and hope you have a discussion.
Okay, I think that before we go too far into this, it looks like we perhaps have three items, or three areas in this item, and that is the annexation, the moorings that we have, and the hunting. And this, the mayor brought that up in her letter. So I feel that I'm not putting something out that doesn't exist. Okay, so I think since they are three major areas, anybody else feel that there are additional areas?
Maybe we ought to handle the moorings first. I think that's what it's
about. Okay, there's annexation, moorings, and hunting, and with Ed Ewing's suggestion, we'll take up moorings on the first part. Rick, do you have anything to start with, or should we just...
No, just comment maybe for the audience. I think the discussion is on the Back Bay, or what we call the Windy Cove moorings, the illegal moorings. We have provided you most recent correspondence from the Fish and Game, I think is in front of you, the Fish and Game Enforcement Officer, Dean Heilman, signing this letter. They are proceeding with seeking removal of all those vessels, and they have a pretty clear path outlined. In a discussion with Dean today, they feel that they need to proceed on this, and that he certainly is not in a position to, you know, at his level, he's been given his direction, and he will execute that direction. This letter is an indication of that. 25 vessels back there about now. As mentioned, so dear vessel owner, concerned party, dated October 31, 2005, from Department of Fish and Game. As mentioned in previous notices and discussed at the last public meeting on September 29, 2005, vessels moored in the Morro Bay Wildlife Area must be removed from that area no later than December 31, 2005. Only vessel owners who have a letter of extension from the Department of Fish and Game's regional manager may stay in the wildlife area after that date. A second public meeting will be held at the National Estuary Program Facility located at 601 Embarcadero in Morro Bay on November 15, 2005 at 6 p.m. Representatives of the Morro Bay Harbor Patrol, U.S. Coast Guard, and a representative of the Department of Fish and Game's regional manager will be present to answer questions. Other representatives of local government may also attend to assist in answering questions of interest. If you have any interest in this issue, I encourage you to attend this informational meeting. This meeting will provide new, updated information from the meeting that took place on September 29, 2005. Sincerely, Dean Heilman, Patrol Lieutenant, Enforcement Branch, North Coast District, Fish and Game Department.
Okay, I'm going to hold it into the Harbor Advisory Board for a minute and allow the members of the board to ask questions of Rick if you have any. We'll start with you, Rick. No? Ed?
This meeting is just an informational meeting, or are the mooring boat owners supposed to be able to go there too and discuss what's going on?
Yeah, I think it's intended certainly for the boat owners to answer their questions, provide information to them, but it's a meeting that where the public, I'm sure, is invited at the request of one of the board members. But it is informational, I think, to that question, too, because the State Lands Commission is the underlying property owner, for lack of a better word. They've leased the property to Fish and Game and state parks. My feeling right now in this situation is that the Fish and Game Department is really the issue on whether you want to talk about management of the area. State Lands Commission would be sort of a second place to go if Fish and Game were either saying, we're not going to manage it, we don't want the lease anymore, or if Fish and Game were saying, well, you know, maybe we could talk about those things, such as setting up a moorier. At this point, it's pretty clear that they feel the need to go ahead and do this enforcement and eliminate the illegal moorings in the wildlife area right now. So that's the process there. And so it seems to me that the State Lands Commission may not necessarily be part of the discussion yet, or at this time, they're the underlying property owner. Did that help?
Okay. Basically.
I'd rather address the issue after we've covered all three and the whole thing about annexation or not annexation, though there are three
that's
areas.
Not part of this morning, if you
can. No. I was just wondered if you had any additional questions for Rick at this point. No. Jim?
As long as we're talking about the removal of the boats in the Winnie Cove area, I have no problem. If we're talking about creation of a mooring zone or a new mooring area there, I'm going to have to step down. A number of years ago, I made a presentation to the state for a mooring
of the moorings in the Windy Cove area, also referred to as the wildlife area, I guess.
Hi. As I said before, my name is Quill Chase. I live in Paso Robles, and we've had a mooring in the Windy Cove, Back Bay area of Morro Bay for over 20 years and enjoyed it and tried to make a positive influence in the bay as well as we could. And it seems to me that Morro Bay is unique among small towns that it has a working harbor. And by making 30 boats leave the harbor or go somewhere else, it diminishes the part of the character of Morro Bay. And I imagine that if Morro Bay started operating that area as a mooring zone, they probably wouldn't make much money from the rent, but bringing the people come to areas because of the uniqueness, and people come for wildlife and people may come for boats, and so I think it's a draw to Morro Bay to rather than have fewer boats around, have maybe more boats around, or try to make some effort to keep boats in the bay, because it is a really unique part of Morro Bay. And so I hope that you, as an advisory board, can work toward making the Back Bay some sort of a small legal mooring area. Thank you.
With a sigh of relief, because when we moved to Morro Bay here, there was no available moorings or places to, you know, to dock your boat. As it is now, there's a real shortage of slips and moorings for vessels. One of the things that I feel about the Back Bay is that because of the different types of uses that actually exist regarding the hunting, the lease for the oyster company that is back there, and the fact that there have been boats there for 20, 25 years, long before I was there, is that there's a conflict of, I wouldn't say a conflict of interest, but there's a conflict of understanding as to what the Back Bay is really all about. One of the things that I was impressed upon when I was at the National Estuary meeting with the Fish and Games, Lieutenant Heilman, is that the National Estuary people are not necessarily trying to evict us for their own personal agenda as to make the bay pristine. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep the bay in a proper order. The number of boats that exist back there right now, I feel, has something to do with the lack of proper facilities in Morro Bay. It's not that we go back there with our boats to just basically avoid doing things the right way, but because of how things have progressed in Morro Bay, especially with the haul-out facilities and
moorings.
Yes.
Can we stay focused, please?
Yes, yes. What I'm saying is that my vessel, the larger vessel that I own, I would like to have taken out of that area. I do not want to have it back there as part of the mooring area, but I feel that there's a number of boats that are there that people have that own that don't really want to have back there. That the problem that is foreseen is something that has occurred, but people haven't really planned to make that a dumping ground for their boats. What we need is to have something organized and taken care of properly, and it won't look the way that it looks right now. That's what I'm trying to say to the council.
Thank you.
Could I put an overhead on? That'd be pretty clear. Okay. My name is Corey Wade, and I'm the skipper and owner of Sailing Vessel Treasure out in the area that we're talking about, which is Winnie Cove. And you'll notice right here, and this is like one of the cruising books that you get. It says Anchorage, and then you have a mooring area up here. Okay, my vessel has been there over 15 years, and I basically up-traded from a smaller vessel to get my vessel at the time. And at the time, the former owners had a mooring put in by a reputable, the owners that respect the bay, and we are not dumping stuff into the bay. I have a current Coast Guard inspection, a voluntary Coast Guard auxiliary inspection. I have an operable MSD on board. Everything is up to code, and it's also pictured in a lot of numerous photographs. It was in the phone book along with all the other boats back there. It's featured on a leaflet that the Morro Bay National Estuary has, but I think if the city took an interest in this area, in Winnie Cove, and we could work out some sort of an agreement to have so many moorings there and maintain them up to city specs. And from what I got from the last city council meeting was their main issue was not so much of the people back there on boats. Their main problem that I got from the meeting was debris, which is listed in the Fish and Game lease from the State Lands Commission. Debris, junk piles, whatever, and of course some of the hunting issues and everything. So I think this is a doable thing, and I just want to let you know again that I'm one of the responsible owners, and we have a good majority here. Even though we're a small number, we are a majority. We're all responsible. Morro Bay Power Plant, or excuse me, the Men's Colony sewer system, and the Fish and Game got $600,000, and so they went ahead and decided to use that money to manage the boat owners in Winnie Cove. And the map that they drew up, they conveniently put the latitude and longitude lines to include all the people in Winnie Cove area. And I would just like to let you know again that I think it's something that deserves being looked at, and we can work with it. And I think the Fish and Game, if we get some positive feedback, the Fish and Game will work with us. And there was one last item that there is a section in the Fish and Game code under the Title 14 that this is all about, where they took the sections that were in violation of. And it's under Chapter 3, 8600, on conflict of interest. And under that code, a law can be changed or amended to help the public in an interest like this on managing the moorings. And I think from the meeting last, the city council meeting that we last had and discussed about this and have given you know, assistance to people that were in life-threatening situations, I have several times.
Again, I'm going to have to.
Thank you. I know. Keep on track.
Yes, please.
So, anyway, I hope you will consider this, and hopefully we can work something out so that the responsible bone owners, and they can go after debris and problems. And, you know, there are boats that probably do want to, that could be hauled out. But my particular vessel is a seagoing vessel. It's 35 feet long. The gross tonnage is 13 tons. And being a wood vessel, I can't just put it on a trailer and take it home. And also, our little area back there, as far as statistically, amounts to about 25% of the vessels moored in Morro Bay. So that's another thing you can look at, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dan Berman. I'm the director of the Morro Bay National Estuary Program. I wanted to come tonight to just explain a little bit of our interest in the situation and our position on it. The management, we have a management plan for the estuary and watershed that was developed with the help of the city of Morro Bay and many other stakeholders over an intensive five-year process in the late 94 hours here, actually, of hammering these things out. One of the priority action plans in that, just in the past and doing it, and I think there's been cycles over the years of more or less, I think in the mid-90s, there was a push and they got some of the boats out. And then in this last year, as Corey mentioned, we had some funding available to direct towards different projects, and that was one that we wanted to try and get some action going on. And so we talked to Fish and Game, and the funding that we have, we're planning to try and use essentially to cover the costs of dealing with the numerous derelict and abandoned vessels and also pulling all the moorings out there. And I guess, you know, as we've gone down this track, we've had a meeting at our office. We're going to have another one. I've heard some convincing and some unfortunate stories from folks who this is going to have a huge impact on. I think many of them are here tonight. And if these guys are, as they said, some of the responsible boat owners back there, and if that was all there was, I don't think that ever would have ended up in our management plan or we'd be here tonight. Unfortunately, I just went through there. They know. You guys have probably been back there, too. There's, in addition to some beautiful vessels, there's also some incredibly falling apart vessels. Some of them are sinking. One of them was upside down for months last year. And when that happens, there's an incredible risk for pollution, or just a fact of potential for serious pollution entering the bay from bilge water, oil, fuel, batteries, everything on a boat, in addition to navigation hazards. Because there's no regulatory authority over it, it's illegal, there's nobody, well, the folks who care about their boats are doing everything they can to make sure they've got a sound mooring. Other people are not. Boats have broken loose. And so it's unfortunate, and it's obviously, I heard you ask Rick earlier what Fish and Game is going to do. My own sense is that they're going to get everyone out. And I have talked to some of these folks at our last meeting about if there are still funds available from the pot that we've got. I am open to trying to use them to help folks with wooden boats, folks who are going to have difficulty getting their boats out of the water. Maybe try and arrange something with some of the contractors. I mean, my first priority is to pay to get the moorings out and take care of boats that need to be broken down and taken to the dump. But I want to help these guys. I don't know if the city has any way to provide within your area some kind of temporary or short-term mooring for, especially for wooden vessels that can't survive being taken out of the water while folks can come up with another plan. But my own sense from Fish and Game, and we'll know more at this next meeting, is that they're going to stick to their guns and try and get everything out of there by the end of December. And thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Gentlemen, my name is Bill Clark. I live in Santa Margarita, California, and I'm an owner of one of the vessels in the Windy Cove area. I think from what you've heard that that a solution to this problem which would be win-win would be for the city of Morro Bay to manage a small amount of moorings in Windy Cove for those boat owners that are responsible, have boats that are legal, qualified to be there, and willing to pay a fee, of course. Yes, the city would encourage your department to consider designating a small legal mooring area in the Morro Bay Wildlife Area. And I would certainly encourage your board to support the mayor in this. And I'm sure a letter from your board with that support and with a copy to the Fish and Game Department would go a long way in making that happen. And thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Okay, I'll bring the item back into the Harbor Advisory Board, and I guess we're talking strictly moorings at this point in time. And so I'll start with you, Gene. And the subject is taking all of the moorings out so you don't have to step down.
I think we're putting the cart in front of the horse. I believe that we really need to talk about Fish and Game doing their job first and then see how that works out before we even discuss whatever happens to the mooring area.
Mm-hmm. Jim?
I think we also need to understand what Fish and Game is going to do, since it sounds like that area is under their jurisdiction. On the other hand, though, I think there is a need in Morro Bay for more moorings, whether that is the consequence of a different design mooring area in areas that are already there, or whether it's opening up.
It was there before Dan came aboard. This came up because of concern. The city of Morro Bay had been providing services to a group of people. You gentlemen probably weren't the problem people. I'll accept that you're doing your best to be responsible members of that community back there. But nonetheless, the Harbor Patrol would go back, do pump outs to keep boats afloat so that they didn't become more of a problem. Rick, could you guess at the tens of thousands of dollars that your department's had to spend on maintaining that area over your time here alone? It's a substantial amount, isn't it?
Well, it would be hard to guess, but I might give you a demonstration of what's going on right now with the one vessel that is the most immediate concern. Voyager. We're having to pump that out daily now to keep it from sinking. And it's a large vessel. We're in the process of relocating it so that it can be put shoreside and put an electric pump on it. But right now it's requiring our personnel, usually with Fish and Game Warden also, to go down to the site, pump the vessel off, and it's taken on, as I understand it, 2 feet of water a day. So it's a real problem. Now, you know, and that type of activity has happened intermittently over the last 10, 15 years, certainly, in my time on certain vessels where there's been an incident where a vessel sinks or suddenly, you know, is a threat to pollute, and we've had
facilities, and many of those boats haven't left their mooring in many, many, many years. And the people who were living aboard would row back and forth. And observation was that, you know, you'd think they'd be carrying a bucket back and forth every single day because circumstances wouldn't necessitate that. But that wasn't what was observed. So either people have amazing retention abilities or things are going in the bay again. Not perhaps the responsible people, but when you have a situation that's a problem, particularly in an area that I believe is considered to be an illegal mooring area, although it's been used for many years. Is that not correct? I mean, our mooring people, the people in our moorings, send a check to you every month for the privilege of being there. I don't think that these people, even the responsible ones, are writing a check monthly to Fish and Game or State Lands or anybody. It's some have seen it as, you know, an opportunity to get something for free, including Harbor Patrol services that other people pay for. That was a lot of the frustration that the NEP was looking at. And back in those days, Fish and Game wasn't participating. Fish and Game was stepping aside completely, saying, we don't have the people, we don't have the time, we don't have the money, and they just ignored it. And so the problem grew bigger, and more people perhaps assumed, hey, and the NEP is not a villain either in this. I think they're trying to they're trying to make sure the estuary has as much health to it as possible. So I don't know about solutions, but first of all, we've got to address the problem.
Well, before I make any comments, I'd like to ask some questions. Rick, when a person gets a mooring area, the city basically charges for the area, and they have to provide a mooring up to city standards. Is that correct?
Yeah, basically. So the way that works is it's kind of like a little ground lease on a 30-day term. It's a permit that we have them sign that's can be canceled or amended on 30 days' notice. In other words, we can cancel each of the mooring agreements if we chose to on 30 days' notice, or we can raise the rent. And it's, as you say, sort of the area.
And
the gear and tackle is owned by that individual.
Yeah.
And it has to be inspected and meet our specs and oftentimes repaired every 2 years. To be upgraded, to be brought back to our specs every 2 years. Now, just let me also say, if you don't mind, there is a couple of situations, and I think there's about 6 to 8 of them right now, where the mooring gear and tackle, for whatever reason, has come back to the city. In that case, we own the gear and tackle. We have it inspected. We maintain it and pay for the cost to repair it when it needs to be. And the charge for that is about $130 a month versus the $57 a month for a mooring now.
Question I have is another question. The existing mooring areas now that are down there, the city rents the area out and they then sublease the moorings to somebody else. Is that how that works?
Which ones are we talking about?
Like where the yacht club is.
Oh, yeah.
How much do you get for an individual lease?
For that block, for example, with Marina Square, I think the annual rent's about $14,000 a year. $14,000.
Well, no, I'm talking about if an individual boat owner leases a mooring, what do they pay you for it?
Oh, so an individual mooring where they own the gear and tackle, Sue reminded me, it's $64 a month now. Is that your question?
That seems pretty cheap. I'm not sure. Is that what the other guys are charging, like the yacht club, for their moorings?
Well, the yacht club, okay, so we charge the yacht club for the area, in which case they get approximately 25 moorings in that large block. I believe their annual rent is about $14,500 or $15,000 a year. They, of course, they own all the gear and tackle. They have to pay for the inspections, pay for the repairs. There are costs there for sure. And I'm not familiar exactly what they may charge, but my guess is it's pretty close to what we charge a month, which is $145.
$145.
I better ask. Thank you, Susan.
Okay, well, that's I wanted to just make sure everybody understood what the deal was there. I don't think there's much that this we could do or the council could do with the fish and game if they're hell-bent on getting the boats out of there. We could put some temporary mooring spaces, and I talked to you about it last week, and there are three areas where they could put some temporary moorings, but I'm not sure how you'd word temporary. They'd have to, if they were used, they would have to provide their own moorings up to city standards, and they have to pay the city the going rate. So I don't know if these people are willing to do that on a temporary basis, but if they would, you might ask them to sign up for a list so at least we knew how many there would have to be. And that would be something we could work on. And then probably on the other side of the pump house at the power plant, we might get three boats there. That's not very many, but it is a place to put temporary moorings, and if we had a list so we knew how many people actually wanted to supply us a city-defined mooring and pay the rent, then we'd know how many temporary moorings we have. And in lieu of that, then after this meeting with the Fish and Game, and they kick everybody out, then they could discuss whether they wanted to allow certain areas for a few moorings back in there under city management. But until that time, that's the only thing I could think of would be putting some temporary moorings in that help them out. Otherwise, they'd be out of luck. So that's about all I have to say.
I'm not sure how we can just talk about moorings all by itself. I think all of these are interrelated, but I know when I was on the Harbor Board about 20 years ago in the early, mid-80s, we were talking about moorings and slips at that time. At that time, we were talking about possibly creating the floating docks out there. And one of the things that we realized was that no matter how many moorings or how many slips you put out there, it's never going to be enough. If we put in an additional 10, there'd be 20 people that want the slips. If you put in 200, there would be more boats than we have capacity for. There's always going to be somebody who the area outside of the city limits has been illegal mooring all the time. It's been an ongoing issue. It's been brought up every few years that something has to be done about it, and because it's outside of our city limits, we have never had any authority to do anything about it. And it's always been on someone else's. We've written letters at different times to the different agencies saying, you have to do this because it's been impacting our harbor department. I like the Windy Cove area. I don't really see a problem with a few boats out there, but we don't have any jurisdiction. And as long as we don't have any jurisdiction, I don't see how we can be talking about moorings in that area. I think, you know, like was said before, the cart before the horse. This discussion has to be about annexation. It has to be about moorings. It has to be about where our boundaries are, all at the same time. As far as moorings, yeah, it would be nice to have some more out there, but we don't really have any place for it. And if I don't think we can establish temporary moorings. I think that's a bad way to go because it's just going to be somebody who wasn't able to move from one location. We're going to temporarily move them, and then when that temporary period, that there is a limit. I have a question of you, Rick. In the back bay, the Baywood part that's privately owned back there, how does someone go about finding out if they can moor something back there? I don't know if any of the vessels that are in Windy Cove are able to get that far back.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Would you say that one more time, Rick? I was trying to.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah. When I went to the Fish and Games meeting there in September, and they talked about beyond the Fish and Games section, which is between the city limits and Baywood, beyond that is privately owned water area. That's why some of the boats can be moored back there. And they said it's owned by an investment firm. I don't know whether it's possible that any of the boats that are in Windy Cove can contract with anyone back there, whether they are, you know, two large boats and they can't make it all the way back. But, I mean, that's another option that seems to be back there.
I'm somewhat relieved. You almost didn't phrase that as a question, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I would just
do you know who yeah.
can to make a comment? This? I believe there is some still anomalies in private ownership of the underlying tidelands in a couple of areas, and one right is Baywood, for example. And that's anyway one reason where Sandal ended up mooring his boat. Historically, there was whether that would work for people or not. I kind of doubted any kind of long-term situation. There probably would be other things that would come into play, but I'm beyond my area of scope. And I know that some of those properties too have been in negotiation for acquisition by various open space things too. And I don't think any of those are concluded yet. If you don't mind, Dan, can you help? Is that all right?
Sure. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's a confusing situation back there. The ESTRO program and some other conservation groups were talking with the folks who own that. I sort of own it. It's sort of a weird, it's almost a paper lot situation. We couldn't come to an agreement because I'm no lawyer in this, but the way I understand it is when it's exposed at low tide, maybe they own it then, but when there's water over it, they don't own it. And so we couldn't, there was no way to come to an agreement on a price because we weren't going to give them any real money for it because they can't really do anything with it anyway, and they don't have any motivation to sell it for nothing. But it's confused because the wildlife, I mean, the Fish and Game regulates hunting back over that area, and so I'm not entirely clear on the jurisdiction back in that area. There are those small boats parked in front of Baywood. Now that Sandals and Sandals' boat are gone, I don't think there's anyone living aboard back there. It's all real small sailing vessels. And it's a question that did come up in that meeting with Fish and Game. Dean Heilman indicated he didn't think that Fish and Game had jurisdiction over that area. I was actually just talking with her catamaran, and we'd be extremely concerned to see some of these big boats try. And I don't think they could with the tide, but the ESTRO program, I think we'd do everything we could to try and prevent folks from moving the problem at Windy Cove. I think it would be a worse problem if we put it farther back in the bay, less circulation, less flushing of pollution, farther, vastly farther from any kind of pump-out facilities. I don't think that would be a good option at all. I don't know if I elucidated your...
Thank you.
Jurisdiction area back there is somewhat confused. I've been talking with Fish Game about trying to clarify it. Dean Heilman he told me he's 95% confident that Fish and Game doesn't have the same jurisdiction over that area as they do over Windy Cove.
The only, if I might make another comment on top of that, I'll be quick, is that, you know, it sounds like, sometimes it seems like we're not too sure what's going on. This stuff, I just would comment that as anybody who knows our history on the waterfront, these boundary issues and title issues where the ocean meets the shore and land is naturally accreted or removed or accreted by man are up and down the state some of the most complicated, difficult things to resolve you will ever see. So it's just tough stuff.
Mm-hmm. Gene?
Yep. About the Back Bay real quickly. I used to belong to a yacht club back there. It's called South Bay Twice a Day. So, about creating more temporary moorings in the city of Morro Bay, we looked at this a number of years ago. We felt that we don't want to make a Morro Bay a parking lot for boats. And if I remember right, creating a new mooring area becomes a federal designated mooring zone and it requires an act of Congress. So,
thank you for those expenses.
At this time, we've been pumping it daily with their assistance, and I think we all anticipate that we will be reimbursed for our cost to the extent possible out of the when the SEP is approved by the regional board and the money is transferred to NEP. So it'll probably come from NEP in this case, I would think. Fish and Game, I think, is taking responsibility for looking for the berthing for it now, where it can be tied up shoreside and put onto an electric or a shoreside pump, so that that'll make it easy, much easier to deal with and manage the boat. And they are talking about reimbursing the berthing costs at that shoreside facility with the CSP funds. You know, I hate to do this again, but we might ask Dan, I don't know if we have any most current, when the SCP might be approved by the regional board. I had not heard if a date's coming, but I anticipate very soon, which would be nice. Maybe Sue's got some news. Okay, thanks. Yeah, Sue wants everybody to know that we are keeping track of the hours we're spending on that vessel and other vessels.
Okay. Also, I believe back in September, there were 33 vessels that were notified in that area. Do you know how many have relocated? Have any? Have all? Evidently not all, but several of the people at the meeting had indicated that they seemed like they were able to find another location for their vessel. Do you know how many have found another location, and how many are remaining? Evidently, the people that are here in the...
Okay, that's a specific question. Do you have a specific answer?
Yes.
Corey, I think she wants you to come up to the mic. Thanks.
I've got a load with me. Excuse me. Yeah, my name is Corey Wade again, and I have been in communication with Gene Dowdy, and I need to give you a call here pretty soon, because he did request me to call you back the early part of November about a mooring.
That was a specific question, and I ask you if you had a specific answer.
Yes.
Would you give us the answer?
I've walked up and down the waterfront. I've made about 8 phone calls on several lists. Some lists I'm number 15. Some lists I'm number 18.
Corey, the question was, how many boats have relocated since?
Oh, okay. For that one, to the best of my knowledge, probably about 3. And those specific boats, to my belief, had a connection, so they were able to get into a mooring up in the city area by knowing somebody, a friend, or, you know, such as Associated Pacific, and helping somebody out. One individual was able to get a mooring there.
Thank you.
So there's probably 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then that would be about my guess.
That was your...
That sounds accurate to me, yeah.
Does that sound pretty close?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a daily, you know, I mean, it's... Tomorrow could be a new situation.
I kind of want to make sure that we're not being held up for this thing here.
Well, I'm not going to talk about liability, but I will say that we were consulted on this, and the options are not things that normally I would call our first choices. We have a problem with a vessel we need to go out to every day, and it appears to be taking on more water every day. So we were asked if we could put it at one of the city piers, and I wasn't particularly happy about that idea. You know, it was a cost-benefit thing, and it didn't look too... I mean, just getting the pier berthing fees didn't sound too good, considering all the other issues that could go on. But, you know, it would possibly be better and easier to manage, certainly, at the pier. Then the idea came up in our office that perhaps it would be better down in... tied up down at the old fuel dock, and that's the arrangement I think we were pursuing, with the Fishing Game taking on paying fees. So that's the arrangement, as far as I know. Now, as of today, I do not believe it's been relocated yet. So we're working on that very soon.
Okay. Thank you. Rick, did you have anything else now? Well, then I'll bring it back to me then. Regarding bringing in a new mooring area, I think we've had it in a couple of different ways of saying it, but it's sort of like the field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. And so no matter how many moorings you make in Morro Bay, you're going to have one more boat than you have moorings, or at least one more. I have noticed and listened to some of the people in the audience identifying that they've had their boats on there, that we really can't go into building a new mooring area. Even we could come up with this idea of a temporary one, but until we find out what Fish and Game is going to do and what their intentions are and what their desires are, because that leads us to the next one, which is annexation. We don't even know whether the Department of Fish and Game wants to let that area go. In any case, looking at the moorings, the only way I would be in favor of building a mooring area in Windy Cove would be if we owned the area in Windy Cove. Because if you start saying, okay, we'll take over and Fish and Game owns it and Parks has a certain amount of jurisdiction on it, and then you try to find out who gets the money and where did the money come from and who has responsibility and who has if there's something happens down there, who gets what. In any case, I would think that new mooring areas is a bad thing to do. A temporary one, much as Ed Ewing has said, would be all right, provided that there was a definite time limit. I mean, and it was something really hard, like it's 6 months or it's 1 year, but no more than that. And after that, it's sort of like the haul out facility down there at Port St. Louis, that sitting on top of them, because temporary moorings tend to get permanent real quick. And so I would support coming into a temporary one to help out those boats, much like Ed has said or Rick has said, find out the ones that are willing to pay the money to move their boats, to comply with all the regulations before we even look at where we need to put temporary moorings. And then if we have to have a temporary mooring, we make it with a hammer on top of it. Any other?
But that's basically what the Fish and Game has said. They said that they will extend it if it is clear that these people are, on the edge of finding a location.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't be doing anything more than what Fish and Game has already said that they are doing in that location. They've given the deadline, and they said if you can prove that you have something in the works and that there's a date certain, then they will extend beyond the December 31st.
Okay.
I want to point a clarification in fairness. I did not read that in this, and I don't believe that they have said that they will extend it under those terms this time. I don't want to be argumentative, but, I mean, at this point, I think what I've read on here, only vessel owners who have a letter of extension from the Department of Fish and Game's regional manager may stay in the wildlife area after that date, which was December 31, 2005. Now, I don't think we should read too much into that.
No, this is how it was stated at the meeting in September.
Okay.
They said they had time, but you put all that information, submit it to their director there, and then the director would make the determination. But it's not going to be a giveaway. They're very strict about it.
Thanks.
But, it would be their approval, which is basically what what Don said that we should do.
Okay. At this point, before we go into annexation, I would like to, because this is an action item, and we should be sending something back to the city council. And I would, if you talk about, I think we should identify both temporary and new moorings, and what our feelings are, and I would, entertain a motion for an inclusion into our letter to the City Council regarding temporary moorings.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
We direct the City Council to correspond with the Fish and Game
Excuse
Department.
Excuse me, we don't direct the City Council.
Okay. We would suggest to the...
Of all,
you should
thank
know
you.
Better than me. They don't have to listen. No, that we suggest to the City Council that they look at corresponding with the Department of Fish and Game and temporary moorings be in the same area as the present Windy Cove moorings in the transition period because environmental damage.
A second. And we can also amend that motion.
I'll second that.
Okay. Now we have a motion, we have a second, and the motion essentially is that we recommend or direct, recommend to the City Council that any concept of temporary moorings be located in the Windy Cove area, not in the city limits.
Not under our jurisdiction.
Okay, that is the motion. We have a second. Are there any amendments or discussion? Okay, this will be included in a letter to the City Council, our letter of recommendation. We will probably have something in addition with regard to annexation.
Okay. Can I? I don't know. Okay, I just want to make a comment. Normally, I wouldn't write a letter. We'd write a memo.
Well,
no big deal.
Yeah.
But also, I want you to understand, I don't think you're recommending something that could, it was within our control, so, but that's fine, if that's your recommendation.
Okay. All right. Mooring.
Well, let me ask a clarification. I think it is, what he's recommending is that we do not establish a temporary mooring within the city.
That wasn't exactly the motion, but that's the inverse of that. There is no recommendation for establishing
exactly
temporary moorings within the city.
Right.
Okay. Are we in a problem area here? I don't think so.
As long as you understand that I think there might be a little head scratching on, this is not something that...
If they decide to take the recommendation of our mayor, who said something to the effect that, a temporary mooring or whatever could be located, that we, the Harbor Advisory Board, are recommending to the City Council that we make sure that the Department of Fish and Game understands that we would not want temporary moorings in the city limits, and that the temporary moorings should reside in the Windy Cove area.
Okay. Yes. The mayor's letter says she's established that we would assist them and support them in setting it up in that area, and you're recommending that if there are to be temporary moorings, they should be in the Windy Cove area.
Right.
Yes, I think I understand.
Okay. Yeah, Jim.
The mayor's letter also says, though, that we will review our space capacity to see if there might be some temporary moorings. And I would assume that review our space capacity means the space capacity within the city limits.
Mm. I would read that, though, to mean our existing moorings, not increasing, as the city looked at that previously, and that's not really a realistic wish to increase our load capacity, but just to make sure that the existing facilities are being fully used.
Well, there's two major areas there. One, is there capacity for additional moorings? And that's a long, lengthy discussion, and can be interpreted a lot of different ways. Planning and land use issues come in, and all kinds of other things, and support shoreside support. As I tended to agree with Ed, who said there probably is room in unused water at this time, and or would there be any room for permanent moorings? That's the more difficult question.
Well, I think we've done what the mayor asked. She asked, we will review our space capacity, which we did. Ed brought up a couple possibilities. We talked about them, and we didn't see that it would be
Let me tell you something. First of all, those areas that I talked about, especially Orville's old lease site there, is deep enough there's no eelgrass there. Number two, they're on a city lease site. They're on even the navigable channel. You're not going to have to change no cart. It doesn't take a federal bunch of people in Washington to allow you to do it. You may have to talk to the Coastal Commission, but that would be it. And I doubt that they would even care for a temporary mooring for 6 months at a time. It's a matter of whether you really want to do it or not. Thank you.
Okay. So we have a motion, and we have a second, and we have discussion. Now, I'll call for a vote. All in favor of the motion? Signify.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Wait a minute. Let me get the ayes out first, because Sue has asked me to get a poll. Gene, did you say aye or nay?
Aye.
Aye. Jim?
Aye.
Roger? Rick?
Aye.
And you were saying?
Well, I didn't like the way it was worded, so I'm saying no.
Okay. And I will say aye. So, motion passes. Okay. Move on to the next item, which is that portion of our agenda that deals with the annexation of Windy Cove. And I'll let
part of there. My understanding is that there will be an opportunity to discuss this concept and have them preliminary look at it, LAFCO preliminary look at it, in the normal 5-year review of our service area, so our sphere of influence. Other than that, I don't know what to say to you.
Okay, then I will, at this point, open it up for the audience. And we're discussing the annexation, city's annexation of the Windy Cove area into the city of Morro Bay.
Dan Berman, Astro Program. I would just suggest, I'm not clear on the process. Rick provided me a copy of the, of at least part of the staff report, and I saw the LAFCO stuff, but what wasn't clear to me, but would be my guess, is that annexation would only be an option if Fish and Game and the Lands Commission agreed to it, and so I guess my recommendation would be to inquire of Fish and Game, I don't know if the city's done this yet, before going, spending any more time down this road, because if they're not interested in the city taking it over, my guess would be that there wouldn't be any way for the city to do that. And I can't speak for Fish and Game, so I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Could I ask Dan a question?
Yeah, yeah. Dan, would you come back?
Yeah.
Just
Not speaking for Fish and Game or State Lands Commission or anything, but in the whole sense to the existing jurisdiction, or have you considered it?
We haven't considered it. As I think you know, I've got a kind of executive committee that makes policy decisions about the program, and so I have to kind of be careful how far out on a limb I go without. That's a question I think I would want to take back to my executive committee before I went out too far on a limb on it, especially since the mayor of Morro Bay is on my executive committee. So, so I'm afraid we don't have a formal policy on that. It's not something we've discussed. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Dan.
Sorry.
Thank you for your patience. I want to put a quick overhead on here, and that will help you out a little bit. Compliments of NEP, National Estuary Program in Morro Bay. And the area that we're talking about is this area right in here. Now, one thing that I see, which would be a definite advantage to annexation, would be the city now, this little area here is where the State Park Marina exists. As we all know, we have silting that's going to be a problem, and a lot of the vessels in this area, which is a legal area, and some people do the harbor patrol on low tide because they get stuck coming back from a sail, an afternoon sail or morning or whatever, and upon coming down the bay, they come down these poorly maintained, which are not in the picture, but there are red and green buoys, and some of them are missing, but they're right off between a white point and Fairbank Point, which is Fairbank would be here, and White would be where the museum is here. The channel cuts right into here, and then as soon as you jog and make a left, if there's an extreme low tide, the boat that draws perhaps 5 foot, like my vessel, for example, will just stop right in the mud. Now, this area, the city's going to have to make a decision someday whether they want to dredge that or what to do as far as making it navigable for the vessels that are in this legal area, okay? And one gentleman made a comment that some of the boats in this area never leave, where they just simply get in their dinghy and go ashore and take their refuse or whatever ashore, and then they go back to their boat. Well, the same thing applies to the legal vessels
Corey,
in here.
I think you're getting off the subject again.
Okay.
The subject is annexation.
Okay.
Of the Windy Cove area.
Okay, well, this would be a great advantage. I'm for it. And all those boats are part of the general population in the Morro Bay Harbor. So that's a definite plus with annexing. Otherwise, you have to go through federal channels and other channels to do the dredging. So I think it would be a good idea to consider annexing. And I'm not talking about moorings or me or anything. I'm just looking at for safe navigation for the vessels that travel through that area.
Well, for your information, Corey, maybe you probably already know, but we are trying to get permission to dredge in the Back Bay Marina, or State Parks Marina.
Yes.
And it's not an easy job. And
I understand.
To do any dredging anywhere else, that's going to drop back into the priority list until we take care of the State Parks Marina.
I know. You move one blade of eel grass and there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
Anyone else from the audience? In that case, I'll bring it back to the board. And we'll start with Rick down there. No, I'll start with Ed.
Start with whoever you want.
Ed never gets to start, so I'll let you.
First of all, I was at that city council meeting. They didn't mention annexing Windy Cove. They mentioned annexing the Back Bay. They didn't say how far along the line would go. And for the public's information, any dredging you do anywhere requires state and federal permits and a lot of work. So anyway, we provided some tows and some safety procedures with our harbor patrol, but that's outside of city limits. It's really the Coast Guard's job when it's outside of city limits. Everybody's glad our harbor patrol does it, don't get me wrong, but that really isn't their legal job. Now, if you look at that Back Bay back there, the only reason I think that they wanted to annex it was to try to say, okay, now we own part of this Back Bay. You can't hunt there anymore because you can't shoot within city limits. The problem with that is the Fish and Game has that lease, and they have it prior to the annexation. And I talked to the city attorney, and he thought that probably the lease would uphold in court, and they would still have control over it, including the state lands has control over the other areas. And then NEP has control over a lot of it. So the city wouldn't be gaining any specific control of anything by annexing it, in my opinion anyway. And I tried to say, well, gee, we're not going to collect property taxes. Let's see, is that going to bring the city any income? And it's not likely. So then you look on the other side of the coin and see what are the liabilities. Well, for one, You have the National Estuary Program back there that monitors a lot of the wildlife, and the city would probably have to work with them and be more responsible for the back bay when they're having a hard enough time taking care of their own bay. Number two, the fish and games back there, and I don't know if they would even, like I said before, would even want to have it annexed. And I'm not sure the state lands would either, because that back bay belongs to the whole state. And if we annex it, does that mean we're going to be able to put city ordinances back there and whatnot? You know, it could be worse than what we have now that I've talked to. Basically, would not like to see money from our harbor fund going to manage that back bay when we have enough maintenance facilities we have to take care of here. Every year we got to scrape and go back to Washington, D.C. every time they dredge their main channel now for extra funds. So, you know, it's not easy. And I think it's just a moot point because they're not going to gain any real control over anything. They're not going to gain any dollars, and all they're going to gain is liability. Then you have insurance. And I think the county still does a lot of water sampling back there from the runoff from the creeks, and the city might have to take part of that responsibility if they get the back bay. Then there's the issue of enforcement and safety. And right now that's supposed to be taken care of by other agencies. Maybe they don't do a real great job, but I'm not sure the city could do much better with the budget that we have. And I do want to see your mooring situation fixed. And I would like to see the city be able to work with the fish and game to sublease that Windy Cove area and manage it in that respect, but not for an annexation. I don't think it's good for this harbor. I don't think it's good for the city, and that's just my opinion.
Okay, I'm going to go over to Jim this time.
If the issue is annexation of the entire back bay, I don't think I would be in favor of it either. I was unable to tell from the documents that were provided what area of the back bay was under consideration for an annexation. And until I know that, I would not be able to form a more definitive opinion. But I...
Two state parks inside the city limit right now that the city basically has the privilege of providing services in when their staff's off duty. When the park rangers go home, I've been in ride-alongs where the police department responds in the state park, both at Morro Strand State Park and the Morro Bay State Park. In an ideal world where finances in the city were extremely healthy and all of our streets were well taken care of and the dredging of the bay within the city limits was in good shape, I would say, yeah, I'd like the city to have more say. But the cost, unless it could be demonstrated to me that there would be no costs incurred for the city, I would be against it. Right now, it would just be a liability for the city to take this on. They wouldn't have ownership. They'd have it within the city limits, but they'd still have to answer to those other agencies, just like happens on shore right now in the state park areas. I don't see any benefit, and I see a liability at a time when the city is really straining to take care of its present needs. So I'm adamantly against it at this time. Unless it can be demonstrated, it would not cost us a nickel extra, and there would be some benefit.
Rick.
Well, part of the concern that a couple members have is just what part of the bay that cross. So I don't think that's something that we have to wait on. I think that's part of our task. You know, our recommendation may be accepted or rejected, but we should be discussing it and sending a recommendation back if we feel some annexation is desirable. I wouldn't want to do the whole back bay. I was looking at the map. If we even considered it, probably just continue the straight line from the edge of the state park marina on out through infinity like it has out there. But that would be only if we decided to do it. I have a question of Rick. On the moorings and slips that we have, do we derive possessory interest tax on that, which is the equivalent of a property tax?
It's equivalent. Roughly equivalent. It goes to the county. The county assessor assesses it. Some small portion of that does flow back to the jurisdiction where that's generated. So
a small portion
does come back.
Right, and those are on the moorings, right? Or just the slips, or both?
Both. I think when there's an agreement, all the moorings also have a possessory interest. And Sue did remind me of a good point in all this, that one thing that we always try to remind folks of is that property taxes and sales taxes that are generated in the tidelands do go to the general fund. So those possessory interest tax, which are basically in lieu.
Started imposing or brought up the subject of the possessory interest tax back when I was on the board 20 years ago. So I knew that was something that did apply out there. So if we did annex that and decide to put in moorings, then it would be the equivalent of what the moorings in the city are. There would be a tax base, a positive tax base to it. I know it's not going to be a lot, but if we did consider the annexation, I would want to have some moorings back there because the moorings that are back there right now, the illegal moorings that are outside the city limits, I don't have a strong objection to. It seems like a location that probably could be utilized for moorings indefinitely, but since it probably conflicts with what Fish and Game, what state lands and the NEP probably all want for that area, I don't see it. I would see it as being an uphill battle for us and probably too expensive, and we'd probably still be stuck with the current contract for, you know, that Fish and Game has for a number of years before we would be able to take control of the area.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, guys. my observation on this is that, excuse me.
Oh, did I forget you, Gene?
No, I'm playing tic-tac-toe.
That's what happens when you play tic-tac-toe, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's the city limits are described that way.
Something like that.
I'm not sure I would say we own it.
Well,
the city limits are described that way, yes.
Right, okay. And basically the channel from State Park Marina to the city limits are beyond that 200 feet.
Yes. Well, I think for the most part, yeah.
Yeah. So it probably would be a good idea to annex some of that area out there for being able to dredge that area. Right now, that area between State Park Marina and the city limits is kind of like, well, who's going to dredge it? You know, it needs an entity to take it to the next step to get it dredged. And so maybe if the city owned it, that would be a good solution. They could be the lead agency in getting it piggybacked on the rest of our dredging system. Whether it pays for itself, I don't know. This whole thing with State Park Marina, it's a lot of money to dredge all that. I don't know whether you get any benefit out of it. And as far as the size and scope of how much area that would the city want to annex, I would just say basically the Windy Cove area. And and as far as how many moorings you could put in, I would think no more than 20. I've already done a study, so that's it.
Can I speak now, Gene?
I'll direct you to.
Could I ask a question before you talk, so you can have the final word?
Go ahead.
This is for Rick, I guess. Rick, pardon. Of the dredging, when we have them come in and when we request it, I mean, do they look at those arbitrary city limits?
The federally designated navigation channels were basically designated after World War II, with the exception of what we did in 1990 when we added the entrance improvement area. The federally designated navigation channel runs, as shown by the channel markers, to Fairbanks Point. My assumption is, I've never quite seen this connection, but my assumption is the city limits were chosen. The state lands grant, probably the same thing, since it was done at the same time as the shortly after World War II, is that they chose that point because that was the end of the federally designated channel to draw the city limits. So in essence, really, the channel became before the city and to some extent. So anyway, I think the answer to your question is that the Corps of Engineers is obligated to maintain it at this time 100% federal cost, the channel up to Fairbanks Point, not to the south of that. That would be that at this time, no one maintains it. It's a naturally scouring channel. The buoy markers are put there by the operator at the State Park Marina.
Mm-hmm. I got a question for you. It won't take long. If they're going to dredge that State Park Marina, could you make that part of the same process, the channel leading up to it? Because it wouldn't do much good to dredge the marina if you can't get to it.
Well, we've actually given quite a bit of thought to that. It's, again, not a perfect solution, but the cost would be commensurately quite a bit more to dredge that channel, and especially the maintenance cost is what concerns me. Because if you straighten it out like you might want to, like humans always want to do, Mother Nature pretty quick is going to want to make it crooked again. And so then, you know, so we've, at this point, we feel like we're doing a study right now as part of the EIR that should tell us a little more about this, but we feel like it makes a lot of sense certainly to do the basin. That seems to be relatively stable. It will take a long time to fill in any substantial portion, but we're only going to take it out to the naturally scouring channel. So it's not a part of our proposal at this time to dredge that channel from Fairbanks Point to the entrance because of costs, environmental conditions, and ongoing maintenance.
Did you have something else to say? No? And it's, can I? My turn? Okay. My problem here is everybody talks about lease annexing, and basically the State Lands Commission has given certain priorities and certain responsibilities to various agencies. And even if we did annex, the DFG is still going to have their responsibilities and wherever we are, the state parks, where when we're in that area, they have their responsibilities. So we're not going to change anything. And what I'm thinking is maybe we should be talking about changing the lease in perhaps Windy Cove from DFG to the city and then put it into the city limits. Because if you don't do that, it's just going to be another one of those things where you were talking about the shore, the state parks, where we have the in the city limits, but we have the responsibility. We don't have any of the money coming back. We just have the responsibility. So just annexing Windy Cove doesn't sound really like a viable solution if you want to control the place. So on the other hand, if you first got the state lands to give it to us, you know, give like they have given the Tidelands to us, and then annex it so to include it into the city limits, then you have total control over that area. From what I hear from the board here is that our recommendation to the city council is not going to be, would be not to either annex or change the lease for the entire back bay. I think that probably sits well with you guys. That the only area that we're talking about is Windy Cove, and that if we did take Windy Cove, I think we would want to take Windy Cove as a total entity, the lease and the annexation, and that we would put in moorings in that area to help these the people out. But again, I think one of you guys said we really need to check with Fish and Game. You know, if Fish and Game doesn't want to give up the lease, then it doesn't matter. We don't even want to talk about it, I don't think. Okay, so I would entertain a motion to include in our recommendation or direction to the city council that they consider only the area that we refer to as Windy Cove in this. Pardon?
How far out?
How far out? Out to the sand spit. What? Or actually, just the mooring area. I would, you know.
Just the mooring area.
Would you? Okay. Well, we'll have to see whether somebody wants to put a motion to take it out to the sand spit. But I'll entertain a motion to go into the Windy Cove mooring area, and if we can get DFG to agree to release the lease to the city of Morro Bay, and then to annex that area for a mooring area.
One more time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's try it again. That we recommend to the city of Morro Bay, the city council, that they consider the Windy Cove mooring area as an annexation and a change in the lease from DFG to the city. That is a package. Would anybody like to make a different motion?
Yeah, well, you could use that if you want to phrase it one way. I'd go for that. If they want to annex that Windy Cove area out to the east side of the existing channel. And no further.
Well, that's basically where they are right now.
That's right. Exactly. But I want to be specific about it.
Well, that's city limits right now.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
The east side of the existing natural channel is basically 200 feet from the shoreline.
Well, then they don't have to annex it.
But then my twice-a-day yacht club could sail there. I mean, at low tide, there's no water.
Mm-hmm.
The only place that you could put moorings would be basically in
Windy Cove,
on the edge of the channel there. You'd have to consider the west side of the natural
west
channel.
West side of the channel, then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it won't work. I mean, I just don't want to go out across the whole bay. I don't think it's necessary. I'm not going to tell you why. The only reason that I can see, they could have just as well got a sublease from the Fish and Game if they wanted to. If Fish and Game didn't want to, that's fine. My thing is, the only reason they wanted to get into this annexation in the first place was because it's like a kid going and having their daddy say, you can't do a certain thing, and they get mad and they go ask their mom. And that's basically what the city is doing. They didn't like it because the duck hunters were decided by the Fish and Game that they could still hunt there. And so now they're trying a different tack. And it's fine if they want to annex the Back Bay, but I just don't want to mess with something that's been in existence for a long time. And I don't mind them annexing for the moorings. I think the mooring people need help. And that's fine with me. But how far out is what I want to be specific about. What would you suggest, Gene?
A line parallel with the city limits that bears basically east and west and to the west side of the natural channel.
Okay.
Is that clear to everyone?
No.
Yeah. If may I interject, if I think that might have been a suggested motion.
Mm-hmm.
Was that what I mean? Were we working on, or we were just?
I was asking if there was a motion to that effect.
So at this point, we're not talking about a motion or.
We don't have a motion.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll give you one motion that I would really entertain. That the Harbor Advisory Board recommends to the City Council that they not annex the entire Back Bay. Is that an acceptable?
I don't want to annex it either, except for Windy Cove. It's fine.
I'd rather give them a positive recommendation rather than a negative. Okay. Negative, yeah.
Well, I think you, one of them, that's a pretty specific one. It says, don't do it, please.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion that we recommend to the City Council that we ask the State Fish and Game whether they want to allow somebody to annex part of that property. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point of even talking about that unless the city, the Fish and Game is even considering it? I mean, we're just putting another cart in front of the horse here.
Okay.
That's not a very clear motion.
I think we have a whole bunch of things on the table right now, and I think some of it is we're going to hope that the City Council watches our deliberations here. And I think I have pretty much of a consensus, I'm not sure, but that the idea of the City Council or the City of Morro Bay annexing the entire Back Bay is probably not looked upon very favorably by this board. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a consensus here that the board does not wish to see the entire Back Bay annexed. Now, we do have an area where we would like to be able to help out the guys in Windy Cove to a certain extent. And now the question is, your motion was to check with the DFG to find out if they would look favorably upon that before we do anything else.
Or maybe Fish and Game could sublease us that part of that property.
Okay. What?
I mean, they have a lease. They could sublease it to us, and then we could manage the mooring area.
Okay. Are you going to make a motion then?
Well, may I interject again? May I make a suggestion maybe that we consider the first motion that was Gene suggested died for lack of a second, just so you held your discussion now,
mm-hmm.
that if you want to consider a motion now that you ask for a new motion and a second for it.
Okay.
Thank you.
So do you want to make a motion now?
No, I'm lost.
You're lost?
I'll make one. I move that we advocate that they do not annex any of the Back Bay and that they go to the Fish and Game and go to this next meeting and to see if the Fish and Game would sublease a small area for the moorings there, or we could manage that, and if the state lands would go with them. And it's going to take some letters. So
yeah.
That's the motion.
Yes, the motion. Okay.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion and we have a second. Sue, did you get that?
That it was to request that the city, that advise that the City Council not annex the entire area of the Back Bay, but to request the Fish and Game sublease the Windy Cove mooring area to the city. And Gene, I think, seconded?
Yes.
That's it.
Discussion.
Would that then include the natural channel between Fairbanks Point and White's Point, which is the northern end of the Windy Cove area?
Yes, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I think the exact boundaries would probably have to be negotiated between DFG and the city if this ever came to fruition. But, you know, but basically we're talking about the existing mooring area.
I think that our direction to council should be specific.
Our direction? What,
yes.
Our suggestion.
Our suggested direction should be as specific as possible so that they can take that recommendation. They could either move it a little north or a little south, but I think we should be rather specific, you know, as possible.
Well, it gets really difficult because now you're talking about with your GPS and going out there and marking it.
Well, a little more specific. Yeah, not necessarily that specific, but a little, you know, a landmark at least of where it is, rather than just saying the Windy Cove, because that's sort of.
But the Windy Cove mooring area is pretty well known, I think, and I think rather than try to get too specific, and we don't even know whether DFG is going to go along with us on this, so. you know, that has to be fleshed out after the fact.
But the Windy Cove doesn't extend up to the mouth of the State Park Marina, right?
No.
And it sounded like if we're going to annex anything, that that would probably be to our benefit to have that much extended for dredging purposes. If they're going to change the boundary of the city limit, that should be a part of it.
I'm not sure that that's DFG. Isn't that State Parks? So now we're talking about two different entities.
No, the water part is part of the fish and game lease, at least according to this map.
Is it?
May I try a motion?
No, we have a motion and a second. Do you have an amendment?
The amendment then would be that it include the channel area from the existing city limit down to the State Park Boat Basin Marina.
You could consider that a friendly amendment?
Yeah, I just seconded it.
Okay. Then, well, let's see. You made a motion? Was that a friendly amendment?
You bet.
Okay. I thought it was Gene. I'm sorry. Sorry, Ed. Okay, so the motion has been amended, and the second maintains. And so additional discussion.
Yes. I still have grave concerns about the economics and the timing, but I believe in essence what we've done is limited the suggested area of annexation.
We didn't talk about annexation. It's leasing and subleasing.
Okay. Leasing and subleasing.
That's it.
And further down the line, if they're interested, it would be considered for annexation. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
That's not what he said, but, you know.
Could we have the motion read, then, as it sits now?
I had the original motion was that the Harbor Advisory Board would advise that the City Council not annex the entire area of the Back Bay, but instead would request Fish and Game sublease the Windy Cove mooring area portion of that to the city.
And then there was an amendment that included.
The amendment was that amend the motion to include the channel from the existing city limit to the boat basin area, the State Park boat basin area.
Okay.
Thank you.
Additional discussion?
Well, I guess my concern, which ended up Roger made into the amendment, wasn't necessary since we weren't talking about annexation, since we're just talking about the lease, sublease,
mm-hmm.
because it wouldn't really benefit us to sublease to the marina, would it?
No.
I mean, I was thinking that it would be beneficial for dredging if they just go to the end of the city limits. But since the city limits isn't going to change, it's only going to be a sublease so that we would be able to conduct some sort of mooring space.
You would have to, as I understand it now, you'd have to change the federal designated channel to dredge further on, unless you're dealing with dredging with a private, another entity.
Like the city.
Or the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I have a motion, I have a second, and I have an amendment, and I've had a discussion, and I'll ask for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed unanimous. I believe, unless a member of the board disagrees, that we have satisfied the requirements of item 4-1. And
yes, we have.
You know, after a 5-minute recess.
Oh, good. That's good.
We'll take up the information items. We're starting the meeting again.
Okay.
Are we missing somebody? Yeah, Jim.
He'll be right back.
Okay. I guess we can get rolling with Jim. We'll fill him in as it goes along. The next item is the information items, the Harbor Department status report.
Okay, one of the things we have coming up pretty soon at the beginning of December is the Lighted Boat Parade. And in years past, the city took a big role in running that and setting it up. And this year, with the city's budget constraints, the Chamber of Commerce is basically taking over running that entire event with severely limited funding, et cetera. It's still going to be Saturday, the first Saturday in December, December 3rd. Start time will be at 6:30. They're going to be the same categories for the different types of boats. There will be manually propelled boats, commercial fishing boats, general commercial boats, cabin cruisers, sailing vessels, and open boats. Because of the lack of funding, there won't be cash prizes or plaques this year, but there are also no entry fees, and we hope it will be as great a boat parade as we always have. It's a nice way to start the holiday season, and families really enjoy coming down and watching the boats and the reflections of all the lights in the water. So we're hoping that that goes really well. The Chamber of Commerce is looking for, of course, donations and volunteers to help with this. And if you're interested, you can contact Amy at the Chamber of Commerce. Their number there is 772-4467. Fisherman's Anchor Memorial. The Anchor Memorial Committee actually met recently for the first time in a few years. They're reviewing requests to add names to the plaque. They're going to be finalizing which names are going to be added in the near future. Right now, there are 55 names on the plaque, and that was founded originally in 1983 by Andy Zatko. And now it's run by a committee with his heirs, a member, the chief harbor patrol officer, and one of the past members of the Harbor Advisory Board actually is on that as well. Ice machine project, the bid was out and the bids were opened today. MLPA, I think Rick was going to give us an oral update on that.
The next regional stakeholders group work session is next Wednesday and Thursday, the 9th and 10th, I believe, up at Cambria Pines. At that meeting of the regional stakeholders group, there will be presentations of proposed networks for new marine protected areas, including a presentation from that myself and a number of other people interested in fisheries and access have proposed through a coalition called the California Fisheries Coalition. And there's been a lot of work put into that network, I'm sure, and there I believe will be a couple of other networks proposed. So it is getting down to, there's the November meeting up in Cambria Pines next Wednesday and Thursday, the 9th or 10th of November, and then there will be a December meeting in Monterey, and that should be the end of the regional stakeholders group with recommendations hopefully going after that December meeting to the Blue Ribbon Task Force for an improved network of marine protected areas. I believe there will be public comment. They haven't put out the final agenda, but his last meeting, at least, they had public comment just before lunch on Wednesday. So one might assume that public comment would be available, and the public is invited to the meeting in Cambria Pines next Wednesday on the 9th, and public comment would, again, hopefully be approximately 11:30. Thanks.
Back to you. Okay. Parking issues. There are several parking issues that will be coming before council tentatively at their December 12th meeting, and these are of interest to certainly waterfront users and just people in general, but there are some specific things relating to harbor issues. One is a public hearing on circulation and a partial one-way circulation on the Embarcadero. Public hearing on proposed parking regulation changes, which might include things like parking meters, et cetera, and a continued discussion on the overall parking management plan. So since these things may definitely have impact on harbor users, we're encouraging people to either attend the meetings or at least watch them and be able to provide some input that way. Past council action, there was a report on alternatives for completing the parking management plan. They did discuss the Back Bay issues, as we noted, and that was referred back to you for discussion, and the same with the annexation discussion they had. And that was at the October 10th meeting. At the October 24th meeting, amendments to leases for lease site 89 and 90 were considered. That's the boatyard and the Otter Rock. Those were referred back to closed session. Assignment of lease site 96W, the Whale's Tail, to Danielle Mandela was approved. And there's a public hearing on funding for the purchase and alternative uses for the Duke Energy Power Plant. And that whole issue was referred to an ad hoc committee. Also attached in the past several years, probably at least 5 years, ongoing discussions have been held with the Coast Guard about going into a joint Coast Guard City of Morro Bay facility. That's been before the board and the city council numerous times. Coast Guard came back to us. We had a meeting with them in September, and they wrote a letter to us in September saying they were really ready to start specific discussions on this, and we were trying to plan dates when it could be heard by council. We just responded to them recently and indicated that we would have to put the discussion off till probably December or January till we find out what's happening with the power plant, because part of the city's plan for funding that would have been some of the money from the outfall lease. So we're going to wait and see what dates work for Coast Guard, and hopefully that will be agendized in the relatively near future. That's about it. Questions?
Thank you, Sue.
What question? May I ask
a question?
Oh, yeah,
question. Go ahead.
You know, on the combined facility, as I read this, it seemed like it's going to be in one building, but a solid wall separating them. Does that mean each of you have to have your own ADA access point? You can't share an elevator or?
No.
Oops, I'm sorry.
That's all right. You go ahead.
The elevator and access areas were going to be shared.
Okay. That, so that,
yes, that would take a lot of square footage if we had to have
that separate. Concerned me. I understand their needs for security,
yes,
and all, but that
there will be that common only area will be the entrance area.
Great. So that
saves a lot of space.
Well, and I space and expense,
huge.
And I was just,
yes,
I was just wasn't sure in reading through
that.
Good
question. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the staff?
It may be jumping a little ahead on what may be a future agenda item, but when you were talking about the parking issues going to the City Council on December 12th, probably their December 12th agenda, are we going to be discussing it at our December meeting, these parking management plans, especially since you said they are going to have an effect on possibly parking meters or parking projects down there in the Embarcadero Harbor area?
We could agendize that. The only potential problem would be that we wouldn't have those staff reports to know exactly what the proposals are.
Okay, because
the board could certainly discuss it.
Yeah, I'm concerned that they're going to be having these public hearings at the city council level when these are issues that the advisory boards, especially the Harbor Advisory Board, should have discussed prior to the city council meeting. I don't think that we should be going up there as individuals when we're members of a board, an advisory board, speaking on these regulations and ordinances and parking management plans. These are things that we've talked about at previous meetings, saying, okay, they're going to be on our agenda. And now they're not on our agenda, and they're going before the city council. And what's the use of being on the Harbor Advisory Board if we can't participate in this sort of recommendations to the council?
Okay.
Okay.
there's an awful lot of silence from staff, and I think that maybe
I will comment if you want. But I was going to see if you wanted it.
Oh, yeah. Please. Okay. Please comment.
I think the Harbor Advisory Board for many, many years has made clear your recommendations on this, and we repeated it at the last one. I don't have the exact words in me, so I'm kind of reluctant to go, but you're basically opposed to parking meters, and I wish I had the exact words, but you all remember, we've had this discussion many times, and the latest recommendation, I believe, was to decide what you're doing with the property that we acquired, the old trailer park on the Embarcadero restaurant property, prior to proceeding with major parking improvements or revenue controls. That's my memory.
Mm-hmm.
So that's out there. That was relayed to them, as it has been many times before. Okay. The council has chosen to pursue these issues, and I think they've asked now at this point. I mean, they're very well aware that you've weighed in with your recommendations. At this point, we could schedule it, as Sue reported perfectly. We could schedule for December, but I won't have any additional information because at that time I would not have the agenda items. That the packet would not be ready for the council. So my suggestion to you, the best thing to do is to, if these are vital issues to you and everybody has a level of interest different, then you should come and participate in the public hearing. They're trying to get public input on that. If they take action or we've got another round of something discernible that I can report back to you, I will. And
that was going to be my next question. Do you know, this is a public hearing, but do you know whether action is scheduled at that one or if it's going to be a couple meetings down the road, whether we will have a chance to have input on it?
No.
They might, yeah. Sue brings up, they might refer back to you. They might take action. I don't know.
Rick,
they can do what they want.
I've got a question here, and I think the last council, they said, I think Mr. Beck said, why don't we just go ahead and put the one-way stuff in? So they were going to bring the cost back and going to go ahead and do the one-way street. That's what it sounded like. Now, I don't know. I could be wrong here. But I have a question about the state lands area. Is that, how much of that Embarcadero is fill? And it's controlled by the state lands.
Well, it's,
or is it just the high tide line?
No. The Embarcadero area generally is filled. The toe of the bluff was the natural shoreline. But, of course, we settled out disputed property issues in the 60s by deciding that the eastern boundary of Embarcadero Road, through that commercial section at least, the eastern boundary, so all of Embarcadero Road, all the property to the west was within the tidelands grant. The east side of Embarcadero, the eastern side of the road is privately
held. So that means the Embarcadero is still under the state lands purview, is that correct?
Embarcadero Road, yes.
Okay. Now, if they're going to do parking plans, that's going to affect the businesses up and down the Embarcadero, and knowing that the state lands commission requires that you don't treat one leaseholder any different than any other, it may change the way people are designated to go towards businesses down there. And I would suspect that maybe they ought to check with state lands if they're just going to slam this parking in. And, I might check with them myself, but I just was wondering. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, I think one of the reasons that this may be all of a sudden accelerating, too, is that the Coastal Commission is demanding a parking plan from the city, I believe, and it's in their view perhaps a little tardy in coming, and their concern is having something in their hands, not that everybody has a chance to participate in it. And so I'm sure that the council is feeling that as well.
And the council is very interested in trying to proceed. I'm reading a little bit into it because one never knows how they may act or what action they might take. Clearly, at least a couple council members want to address these issues. There, as Roger mentioned, there is this parking management plan and the parking in lieu fee thing that is pushed on us to some extent. And so, the council desires to move forward. And they are aware of your recommendation. It doesn't, they very much appreciate the service of the advisory board, but it doesn't always mean they're going to agree with your recommendation. There's still they still value your service. And I'm not portraying that they might not very much agree with your, who knows. So that would be my comment.
Okay. Any other questions?
Ed, I would just like to ask you where this came from. It doesn't have any authorship.
The person brought that by the office today, and I guess it was printed by Duke. far as I know.
But you guess it was.
I'm guessing it was. I have a copy of the Duke's lease. They gave me one of those, too. So it's,
you know, Rick, do you know where this came from?
I don't believe it's a city document.
Because it was read into the meeting as though it was factual, and I don't see anything on it that indicates the authenticity of it.
If you want to, I'd give you a copy of the lease.
No, thanks.
You can compare it. It's in there.
Yeah, it was part of Mr. Ewing's oral comments.
It was just an information item. We didn't act on it. It was not on the agenda.
Oh, I understand that too, but I'd like to. That's the only reason I asked, is I would be curious as to who produced it.
I'm not sure, but it wasn't from our department. Okay. It came from Mr. Ewing. Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, moving along to which is what we have been doing. Additional comments. Rick, did you want to put that parking thing on there?
Well, I'm familiar with, you know, our generalized recommendations in the past, but not knowing what the parking management plan that's going to be presented is, and since Rick says he won't be able to have that for us, we could talk about it with as much information as we have right now, which is nothing. We don't know what the plan is, so if you want to talk about it, you can, but, you know, if there's nothing specific that we can make a recommendation, say we agree or we disagree with the parts of the plan, I don't see, you know, why it should be on.
Okay. Perennial fuel dock question. Maybe we'll just put that on the agenda, just let us know what's happened.
Okay. And I do have one I would suggest to you. Contingent basis is there, as correctly identified, as at least the part that I'm aware of certainly, is that there, if the council were to approve the Duke overall agreement on November 14th, there will be substantial payments to the Harbor Fund, one for last year's rent on the outfall lease, which is, as I understand it, $280,000, and then November this year to November for 1 year next, up to November next year, $250,000 would also be due at that time. So there's a little over $500,000 that would be paid very soon after the council executing it. It's my mid-year budget review for their meeting at the end of January. That would be the opportunity for the council to go ahead and formally appropriate some of the money that we receive as revenue, or to transfer to fund balance or to capital projects. Mm-hmm. So I will try, if that money, we would be, I would appreciate your input in December if we can put that together.
The Harbor Advisory Board Retirement Fund, couldn't that go?
your input would be appreciated. Once again, I can't guarantee that it'll be approved.
Any other suggestions for future agenda items? Then we go to the next step, which is all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.